What to do with your RESPs if your kids don't go to school is such a big concern for parents. So we're going to talk about what the heck all the options are. But before we get started, Megan has some fun news to share with us about what she's been into this week.
Aren't I so grateful that my content I was into last time was all about goat birth?
Came in handy, hey?
Because midwife Megan was present, not helping, but present for the birth of two little baby goats on Sunday. And it was absolutely wild.
So cool.
Yeah, it was wild. So I just happened, what I did, it was like 11:30 in the late morning. I made some banana bread. I put it in the oven and I was like, I'm just going to take the dog for a trail walk. You know, keep an eye on this, but I'll definitely be back before the 55 minutes that this banana bread's going to take. I go for my loop around the trail. And as I'm coming back, I see that mama goat is laying in the forest. So like my pen has like an open area and a forested area, both kind of situations within their one pen. And she is laying in the wooded area. And I thought, she's never, ever done that before. I'm like, something's not right. So I go in there, and not only is she laying down, the boys are kind of using their horns to try to prop her back up. They're like bumping her, like, get up. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, what is going on? And then I saw her like belly like contract and like the grunt of the contraction. And I was like, oh my goodness, we're doing it.
I know how that feels.
So I go and I get a shovel and I'm like, shooing the boys away. Like, get out of here, get out of here. It's not working. They like shoo away, but mama's not leaving. Like, once I get them away, she's not moving. So I was like, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to lure them away with some treats. So I went and I got some treats and I like lured them far away into the corners of the pen. Well, it lured them away, but mama was like, treats, same. I want some too. And she just gets up and she goes and have some treats. And I was like, what are you doing? You're in labor. Like, cuckoo, let's go. You got to go to safety now. Nope, wasn't interested. So like a sumo wrestler, I just grabbed her horns with the most confidence I've ever seen myself have in my life. And of course, this is a weekend Greg's in Toronto. He's out of town.
Of course.
So I grab her horns like She-Ra. Like, I was like a superhero. And I pull her into the pen and I kind of throw her into the pen. And within 2 minutes of being in that pen, babies are coming out of her.
Crazy.
It was absolutely wild. And I was like, I'm not a first responder. I'm like trying to call Madeline. She's inside playing Minecraft with the other kids. I'm calling, no one hears me. So I'm trying to like call her on a phone. And I like couldn't find her name. You know, it was just like nothing.
What's my kid's name again?
I was like, oh my gosh, just like all this adrenaline. I'm like scrolling through my iMessages trying to find her name. I was like, what? We text literally all day long. Why isn't she at the top? Nothing. Like my brain and my body weren't aligned. Because I was just like on that fight or flight mode. But anyways, goats have arrived. I have a camera in the nursery pointed right at them. So that's literally rolling on my...
What are they doing right now?
I'll show you.
Are they sleeping?
Yeah. So they sleep for the majority of the day. So I have a little blue water barrel I made into a heater. So right now they're in there.
That's smart. Oh, they're so cute. Now that you can see them very well on what Megan's showing me for those of you.
Yeah.
But she sent me some pictures yesterday or the day before maybe, and they're so cute and fluffy.
Yeah. So it's real. So that's been my content too. It's just like, all I do is I have this camera loaded on my phone, just watching them. We're going to introduce them to our are Doe's other baby. So we have a one-year-old male too. So we're going to introduce them today after work.
Fun.
Yeah, it's exciting. Okay, what about you?
I've just been waiting for your messages about these goats. That's what I've been doing. That's all I care about. But you know what's interesting is how, like, sometimes it seems like, oh, I had a conversation with a friend about whatever, and now all these Facebook ads for that thing are showing up for me.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge skeptic on whether or not that's actually true, because Megan has sent me a bunch of goat videos. Megan is also in some public groups that she asks questions about goats, and that pops up for me, but nothing else. Like, there's no homesteading or farming or animal or goat or, like, nothing else has come up for me this week. I thought about that this morning. I was like, one of the examples I use when I do financial literacy workshops, and we're talking about credit scores and how the algorithm works. I always tell them that, like, okay, we can kind of understand how the algorithm works. Like, you do these types of things and it'll go up, and you do these types of things and it'll go down, but we can't know for sure because our other actions are different from each other. And so I use an analogy of Instagram and or TikTok and watching squirrel videos. I don't know why I always say squirrel videos, but I do. About, like, if I started watching squirrel videos, we all know where I'm going to get more squirrel videos. But how many of them and which accounts I'm going to see and, like, what types of them, that would be different for me than it would be for you if you did the same thing by watching squirrel videos. So we know that, like, that's how the algorithms work. Like, if you watch this stuff, more stuff comes up, but it doesn't always work that way. Nothing's coming up for me. So that's just my little thought on the conspiracy theory of whether or not, you know, how much is Facebook tracking us? I don't know. You would think that stuff would be coming up for me, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I don't know how any of these tech things, but I also feel like maybe it's because you haven't actually typed in the word goat.
Totally. So I know if I actively searched for it, but it's heard me talk about it and it's seen that I've clicked on your goat videos.
Right.
Like, wouldn't that be enough? Anyways, that's not what we're talking about today, but I just find that very, very interesting. It would have heard me telling Graham about midwife Megan's, you know, weekend adventures. Adventures with midwife Megan. So I don't know. My phone's right beside me. So if I get goat videos later, I will let you know and I will update everybody. Tweet episode. Okay. So these cute little goats, if your child wants to be a goat farmer and not go and do a full 4-year degree at university, that's probably okay. We could probably find a place for them to go and learn goat farming that would accept RESPs. So one thing that I always want to remind parents of is that they don't have a crystal ball. Like, they cannot predict the future. For most people, they open their RESP accounts before the kids turn 5.
Okay, let's talk about first the benefits of having an RESP.
Okay.
So for those who have been on the fence about whether or not to open one, and their main hang up is their neighbor, their brother, their whatever says to them, well, why open it if your kid isn't even going to go, likely not even going to go to school? Okay, this is what an education savings account is. It is a savings account that is funded jointly by yourself and the government.
Mm-hmm.
You guys form a partnership and you say, we value education. We want our kid to be able to have the opportunity to go and get post-secondary education should they want it. If you put money in, the government says, I'll put money in.
Yes.
So for every dollar that you put in, the government will also contribute 20 cents. Mm-hmm. So that's, in my mind, that's an instant 20% rate of return.
That's right.
As well, so up to a maximum of $500 a year.
Right.
So if you, like Lindsay said, most people open by the time their kid is five, but if you're opening it right now and your kid is six, you get to go back those 6 years. That's you have right. $500 every year that the government's open to contributing as long as you, it's like the group RSP matching through work.
Yeah.
You put in, they'll put in.
For sure. There's not very many programs where we just get free money. It's pretty darn awesome. And that 20% is the minimum that they will put in there. If you are under a certain income bracket, there's even more money that they'll put in there.
And if you live in BC, I think there's an extra something or other.
You betcha. We get an extra $1,200 between our kids' sixth and ninth birthday, which is a second. If your child is in that age group and you're in BC, your RESP provider will not automatically apply for this. And unfortunately, most of them will not even call you or tell you that this is available. You need to call your bank or call your advisor and let them know that you have a child between age 6 and 9 and want to apply for it. I hope that you don't have your stuff at the bank because, man, they have no idea how to apply for this at the time. But don't worry. Even if that's the case, just Google BC RESP grant. You don't even need to know the real name. The application form is available in PDF form. You can print it out yourself. You can fill it out yourself and you can walk your cute little butt into the bank and hand it in.
Okay. So that's why people say to open up an RESP because there's all of these benefits. It's a great incentive to be able to save for your child. Or a child that you love, you can open it up for maybe you have a niece or a nephew or whatever. But Lindsay's right. The number one reason I hear from parents that they're not going to open one is because they know their child and they know their child's likely not going to be going to post-secondary education.
Which is a pretty crazy prediction to make when your child is like under five. Well, you don't know your 17, 18, 19-year-old child. And do you know that you have 35 years to use the account? You don't know your 30-year-old child. They don't have to use it as soon as they get out of high school. They can use it into their adult years. So I'm sure they can find something that they're interested in. So we pulled up the approved list of the institutions. I pulled up the one for BC. Megan's looking at the one for Ontario. If you are in a different province or you want to have a look at this yourself, just type in RESP approved institutions or something like that. It was the first thing that popped up for me. Is there anything that you see on your list that you think that one of your kids might be interested in?
Like you said, I don't know what 18-year-old
totally
child is going to be into, but there's nothing on this list that makes me think, oh, they would definitely not be interested in that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Like, totally.
This one, I think that there's 10 programs per tab. And there's 29 tabs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like on my list right now, like there's the Vancouver Animation School, Mad Lab School of Fitness, Medical Reception College.
And even though I'm looking at Ontario and you're looking at BC, it's not to say that one of my children, they graduate high school, and instead of going directly to university or college, they decide, you know what, I'm going to go work in BC for a bit. I'm going to live with Auntie so-and-so, and I'm going to work in BC. But you know what? On the side, I'm also going to learn sign language.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like, is on this list.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to the Body Bar Laser Academy. That's what I'm going to do. Like, we are not expecting all children with RESPs to go and do a full four-year degree or, you know, beyond four-year. Who knows what this place does? It's called Brain Station Paramedic Academy. I'm just flipping through some of the different options to give you like a real sense of how vast this is. Ocean Quest Water Sports.
I think the main problem is that people don't know what they don't know. So the word, even with like RSPs and TFSAs. So RSP stands for Retirement Savings Account. But if you need the money, you don't have to wait until retirement. There is no penalty. There is no maximum tax. That's the other myth that I've heard people say. They're going to wait to take it out of their RSPs because of the max tax. What? That's not a thing.
Right.
Or the TFSAs being that this is a savings account. But you know what? You can use a TFSA to fund your retirement instead, if that makes more sense for you. So it's like this registered education savings plan. People have this mindset that education after high school means college or university. Those are the only two options. You go and you get a four-year degree, or you go into a two-year program at the college, whatever is normal for their area. And that's the only thing, but that's not real. Like, if you want to use heavy equipment, you need to go learn how to drive a semi.
Yes.
And that is.
And I saw a heavy education. Equipment institution on my list.
Yeah. And I always say to parents, it's an instant 20% rate of return.
Yeah.
The government has a share in the success of your child after graduation.
Absolutely.
And
guess what? The more money they make, the more money they pay in income taxes. Yeah.
And it's not a dollar for dollar thing. So let's say I save up over the course of 10 years or whenever I'm going to start saving $10,000. Of that $10,000, only 80% of it was what I contributed. Hopefully it made some money, let's say. $2,000 of that was directly from the government that I didn't have to come out of my own pocket. And now what we do is we sign up my kid for some sort of maybe culinary class, whatever they're interested in at the time. If the culinary class is $1,200, it doesn't matter. I show the financial institution a proof of enrollment. Mm-hmm. And they allow me to release the money.
And if that proof of enrollment can be anything above a 3-week program. So three weeks or a 3-week or bigger, right? So you can do part-time 3 weeks. And the other piece of the 3 week is it has to be at least 12 hours in a month, I think is the hour requirement. So 3-week program, 12 hours in a month. Are you kidding me? That's all you have to do is register for that and you get the free money from the government. It's a pretty good deal. All of our kids, every single one of them, can find a 3-week program for 12 hours, even if they're not doing university or college diploma.
Agreed.
So when you take that money out, you show the enrollment and you take the money out, there's three different sections of money in your RESP. There's the grant money, there's the growth, And there's the contributions. So when your child goes to school, you first access the grant money, then you access the interest, the growth. And so even if they just do a little three-week program and that's, they don't need a lot of money and they use those two sections first, that means that you could withdraw the contributions to do whatever you want with. Those are your dollars. Tax-free, they come back out. Your kid goes to school on the government's back and you take your money back. It's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
It's not a bad deal at all.
I am an advocate. I mean, I want to be convinced otherwise. Please come convince me otherwise that an education savings account shouldn't be open for every Canadian child.
Totally.
Because what I did when I first started contributing for Wesley when he was born is I would take the Canada child tax benefit. It's called something different now, but I take that benefit. I got it on the 20th. On the 21st, it'd go right into his education savings account.
Yeah.
And so it was like the government gave me, I think at the time it was like $120. And then I put it in that account. And then the government gave me again, you know,
another $24.
Another $24. And so for the first couple of years, his whole education savings was funded by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the intention for that money is to help me out while I'm adjusting to this new stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, they wouldn't be able to afford it. And to be honest, when we had two kids in daycare, I needed every cent of that child tax benefit money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but
in that first bit of time with your first baby, free money.
Yeah. I was like, well, $100 isn't going to move the needle for me right now.
Yeah.
And not $100 a month. It wasn't going to change my life much. Yeah. But then when there was two and my daycare bill was more than my mortgage payment for a couple of years, $100 to me was a big difference.
Absolutely.
So I took a couple years off of contributing to my education savings account, which is totally fine because now I'm in a stage of life where I have no daycare bills.
Yeah.
And I make a little bit more money and I can contribute more now.
Totally. So maybe I'll put this question to you. So let's say a child decides not to go to school and the parents just want to give the grant money back and empty the account. What are their options? Do you want to tell people, explain to them what their options are with the rest of the money?
I personally don't truly believe that there's no human that's not going to take some sort of post-secondary education. But let's say they never
sign up. Advocate here for those skeptics who are listening. My kid thinks that all of the things that you guys have said, all those schools are totally lame.
I would say just get the enrollment form. Just get the enrollment form. That's what I would say. But hindsight, yes. So you have options. You could collapse the account and you could take the money out and they're going to keep their contribution. The government's going to take back their contribution and there's going to be some consequences on the growth.
Right.
But you can also, you can transfer your RSP.
Yeah. Yeah. Give the government their grant money back. And then move the rest into your retirement account.
Yeah, your money's still your money.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, the worst that's going to happen is they're going to take their 20% back.
That's right. That's it.
If
you wanted to, like, let's say your kid can't find some three-week program, can't get an enrollment form, you're going to collapse the account, your kid's going to maybe travel with it. Your contributions come back to you tax-free. The growth comes back to you heavily taxed. You pay your income tax plus an additional 20%. But still, you're going to get like half of the growth back. And then your kid could go and travel with it or something. But like Megan says, we're just playing devil's advocate here because everybody could find a 3-week program. The other thing is that, you know, this 3-week program that your kid enrolls in, nobody shows up on day one to make sure that your child was there. Nobody's checking up to make sure that your child actually attended. So as long as you have that enrollment form, those dollars are going to be released. They get released to the subscriber, which is whoever opened the account, whoever owns the account. The child is the beneficiary on the account. You are the subscriber. So that enrollment form unlocks those dollars. And then you can take the money out. And that money can be used for anything associated with the education. So the enrollment form unlocks it. You can use those dollars for housing, for textbooks, for transportation, like you, any costs that are associated with education, you can use that money for. So I hope that if you were on the fence or you were unsure, that like this conversation has made you realize that there's nothing to be unsure about, that an RESP is going to be awesome for you. So the maximum you can put in per year is $2,500 to get that 20%, because 20% to 2,500 is 500. Mm-hmm. That is, I believe, $208.33. I don't know that because I'm a math whiz. I know that because that's a common number for people to put into their accounts.
Every month.
Every single month. That's right. Now, if you have the 5-year-old and you have not opened the account, you can do your maximum for this year. So we're currently taking this in 2024. And then you can double up. So you can double up in any given year. You could do your maximum for this year and then 2023. And then next year in 2025, you would do your $2,500 maximum plus your $2,500 maximum for 2022. Does that make sense? And then in 2026, you would do your maximum for that year and then 2021. So you go back 1 year at a time and you can do, like a maximum of 2 years combined, the current year and then one of your past years. So if you have started this late, you have not lost out on the opportunity for that extra money. Obviously, it means that you need to come up with $5,000 in a year to put into your kid's education account. That's the harder part. But if you are in the position to do that, then don't worry. You have not lost out on that grant. The government will still be happy to help you send your child to school. Thanks for spending your time with us today.
If you heard anything that piqued your interest, check out the show notes because we probably have some extra deets or links down there.
Your homework for today: go talk to someone about your money, either your spouse, your kids, your coworker, or a licensed professional.
And if you don't like those humans today, we're always talking in Lindsay's Facebook group, Black is the New Red. So join us over there. Head over to Facebook, type in Black is the New Red. You'll see so many amazing, like-minded individuals in there trying to get better, asking the right questions, supporting one another.
We look forward to hanging out with you again on your next dog walk or while you watch soccer practice from the sidelines. Cheers. Cheers.